story that's very unusual. And I hope and pray to connect it to Easter. There is a verse I will quote and not have you look up. It's found in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul writes these words, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What work is he performing in you that he's going to continue to perform it until the day that Jesus Christ comes again? In the Old Testament, we have a very unusual story. Many of us have heard the story of Samson. Fewer are aware of how Samson came about. But in chapter 13, I'm going to read it fast if you will listen fast. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, as in Noah, just put a Ma, M-A in front. And his wife was barren and bare not. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's one thing that is never satisfied, and that is a barren womb. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat anything, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink any wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. Let us kill a goat, stay with us, and we'll feed you. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. No, I'm not going to stay. But if you did kill a goat and you offered it unto the Lord, I'd stay for that. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why are you asking thou after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. That means when he offered it on the rock, and the angel of the Lord, and Manoah doesn't know it's an angel of the Lord, that sacrifice disappeared. It was received. That's what it means, done wondrously. Like in the Old Testament when Elijah spoke to the nations and said, either Baal, he's the God, or Jehovah, we serve him. Let the God that answers by fire be the one that we serve. Let's not serve Baal and Jehovah, just one. And when the children of Baal did all their thing and they put their sacrifice, no fire came down out of heaven to consume the sacrifice. But when Elijah stood up and said, Lord, I've done everything you told me to do. Now let your fire fall. And the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. Not only consumed the sacrifice, it took away the wood and took away the water that it was soaked in. And this sacrifice that Manoah has laid on the altar is also gone. And not only that, but look at this. Verse 19, so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. That angel got on top of that fire. And as the flames went upward, that angel went on top and went up and disappeared. Verse 24, it came to pass when the flame went up from toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. There are two expressions that are coming forth. I want to ask you, which one are you going to identify yourself with? We're going to see what Manoah says, and we're going to see what Manoah's wife says concerning what they have witnessed. Verse 22, and Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaloh. It's a serious thing to ask God for a child when you haven't had one and the womb is bare. Manoah and his wife are going to join good company. There was Elizabeth who and her husband prayed for a child. There was Abraham and Sarah who prayed for a child. There was Hannah who prayed for a child. And here is a man by the name of Manoah, and his wife won a child. And God heard that prayer. But the angel of the Lord comes to Manoah's wife, doesn't come to Manoah. He lets her know, you're going to have a baby. I've told you years ago, I remember pastoring in White Salmon, a lady came down for prayer, weighing 500 and some pounds, and I mean no disrespect. When, as I began to lay hands on her, the Lord spoke to me and said, tell her that she is going to have a child. We had been told she could not have a child due to her husband had physical challenges and her at the age of 40. Went ahead and prophesied it. 2 days later, I get a call from this same lady getting ready to leave town, but she's calling from the doctor's office. And I said, called her by name, what is wrong? She says, well, I'm at the doctor's office. And the doctor told me, because my husband, we're getting ready to go on vacation, and I didn't feel good. My husband didn't want to go on vacation until you were checked. And the doctor just got done checking me and said, you're not going anywhere. You're 8.5 months pregnant. She did not know that she was pregnant. And she had a child. There's quite a story behind it, because they had raised a little girl. She was 5, adopted, but didn't do the total procedures correctly, and the child was taken. The mother changed her mind, but God heard her cry. And here is Manoah, and as Proverbs says, the womb is never satisfied. And God answers the prayer, shows up unto Manoah's wife, and lets her know the conditions that this child will be special. And you're not to drink anything, nor is the child, and gave other instructions. She runs and tells her husband. And the husband, I think he was from Missouri. I don't think he totally believed her. So he said, let's pray some more. And the angel shows up again. Doesn't go to the husband, goes to the wife again. And she says to the angel, could you just wait right here while I run and get my husband? She runs and gets the husband, brings the husband back, and there he doesn't know it's an angel. As he begins to hear what the angel of the Lord is saying, he thinks it's a man of God. He again repeats what he had told his wife, and then Manoah is intrigued, and would you stay with us and let's kill a goat? And he said, no, but if you were to offer that goat to the Lord, I would. And so with the suggestion of the angel, which are ministering spirits in the New Testament, at the end, that goat on the altar is consumed by God. And then, as surprising as that was, I'm sure Manoah's jaw dropped as now the revelation is coming to him. This is more than a man of God. He's now realizing it's an angel. The angel steps on top of that sacrifice, on top of the fire, and goes up and disappears. And two expressions are expressed. Manoah says, this is it. It's over. We're going to die. And it is true. The Bible says no man has ever seen God. And he thinks because he's seen an angel of the Lord, some say it would be Christ, that's a sermon for another day. But either way, he thinks that it is over. That's it. And the wife says it's not over. It's just beginning. And she says, and listen to her logic. She says, God would not have accepted the sacrifice that we gave, the goat, if he was displeased with us. If he wasn't happy with us, he could have taken us out. But he must be pleased. He accepted the goat. And I believe that as the man of God said that I'm going to have a baby, I will have a baby. And we know from history and from Scripture that Samson was this child and was one of the greatest men in the Old Testament to deliver Israel. And the Spirit of God began to move him in the camp of Dan. It wasn't over. It was just beginning. When you come to Christ, the Bible says, that verse we read, for he that hath begun a new work in you, that has begun a work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus. If you accepted Christ, and you sincerely did, he's not done with you. It's not over. He will perform it until the day that Jesus returns. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Not that the works save you, it's your faith in what Christ did upon the cross. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," that means it's not over. It just means that the sacrifice that he died was acceptable to God. And when Jesus went to the grave, and he 3 days later arose from the grave, as we sing, "Up from the grave he arose," it's just beginning. And as Manoah saw the angel go up in the flames, Jesus back also, as after 40 days he went up and they saw him go, he's coming back, and he sent the flame back. But here we are, and I want to say to every person that's a Christian and you accepted Christ, it's not over. It's just beginning. And that no matter what God has done in your life, it's not over. And may you know this, and know this in your heart. God has a plan and a purpose in your life. He has a plan. And the plan is not just to receive Christ. That's just the beginning. When you receive Christ, it then says that your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he has a plan for your life and a purpose for your life. You may not understand that plan. You may not know what's going on in your life right now. It may seem rather confusing for you, but upon the authority of God's word, can I share this with you? He that has begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it shall quicken your mortal body. And when Jesus stepped out of that tomb and the stone was rolled away, as we often say, not so Jesus could walk out. It's so you and I could walk in and look around and say, "He's not here, it's risen." But the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead, when you got saved, it quickened you, but it's got more work to do. When you joined the army, if you did, and you signed up, it ain't over. You just signed up. You got boot camp. You got maybe positions to go to. It may be private lieutenant. It may be sergeant. It may be captain. It may be general, 1, 2, 3, 4 star. It's just the beginning. You see, it's not over. It's just beginning. And when Jesus came out of that tomb, it is signifying to you and to me, it's just beginning. You have eternity to live out of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, really saved, everything ought to connect you to God. Everything ought to connect you to God. What do you mean by that? Because the Bible says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Do you know what I do? I try to let everything connect me to God. You know why God gave you feet? He gave you feet so you could walk to church. He gave you feet so you could walk up the steps. He gave you feet so you could walk to a prayer room and kneel down to pray. He gave you feet so you could walk and run the race accordingly. You know why he gave you ears? He gave you ears so you could hear what the Spirit of God says unto you. You know why he gave you eyes? He gave you eyes so you could behold the glory of the Lord and see the stars. And what are the stars? He calleth them by their names, and they are praising the Lord. You know why God gave you a mouth? Not to gossip, but to praise the Lord. God gave you a mouth to praise the Lord. He gave you a tongue that no man can tame. But when you pray in the Spirit, it's being tamed. He gave you a tongue and a mouth to be able to praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be great tomorrow if you woke up and said, today is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I got 3/4 of you. I'll work on the other 1/4. You know why God gave you hair? Excuse me. You know why God gave you hair? It's to remind you of Samson. Don't cut your hair. To remind you of dedication. Everything ought to connect you to God. Everything. You know why God gave you breath? Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Everything ought to connect you to God, because in Him I live and move and have my being. You see this pillar? You know what I do when I look at this pillar? I'm reminded in the Bible that it said there are pillars in the church. I hope everything you see reminds you to God. You name it. You point to anything and I'll tell you how it connects to God. You see that light? He's the light of the world. You see the blue sky? That's what Jesus went up to, and that's what He's coming back. Everything ought to connect you to God. That's what it is, because when you come to Christ, it's a brand new day. And everything gets better and better and better. Little Brocky, my grandson, Kelly, he just like my younger daughter, Tawny. Tawny would follow my wife around the house just like this all the time. Enjoy him. Enjoy him. You only get one go around. And she'd just go around, my wife would say, she's just wearing me out. Tawny just talk, 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 talk. Well, you always say to your kids, I hope you reap it. Well, Kelly's reaping it in a different way. That was Tawny, but Kelly said to Brocky this past week, Brocky, Mama needs time out. Mama's going to go to the restroom in the bathroom. I'll be in there about 5-10 minutes and I'll come back. Could you just take care of yourself and entertain yourself? He said, okay. Brocky went on down the hallway talking to himself. As Kelly was coming around the hallway, she heard Brocky saying, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you. That's so nice of you. Thank you. Kelly came around the corner and said, Brocky, is that you? Yes, Mom. What are you doing? Who are you talking to? He said, I'm talking to God. You see, Kelly's been reading him Bible stories, telling him how God answers prayer and how God's real in our life. And she says, well, what are you saying? Well, Mama, I lost my hot car, my favorite hot car, and it's been gone 2 or 3 days. And so I prayed, oh, Lord, let me find my hot car. And God showed me where it was. And I was just thanking Him. Oh, thank you. That's so kind. That's so good of you. That's so polite of you. Everything ought to connect you to God. Everything ought to connect you to God. If you walk outside and you see the ground ought to remind you of God. It ought to remind you when you're bad and you badmouth preachers. Don't forget, the ground opened up and swallowed people of such. It ought to remind you of the 4 soils that Jesus said that are likened to the kingdom of God. And 1 soil was good. You know what your nose ought to tell you? You know why God gave you a nose? Okay. The nose ought to allow you to smell things that God created. And you could worship and glorify Him. I had a preacher friend some years ago. He called me and said, you'll never guess what happened. I said, what? He said, just before church, he said, in the Holy Ghost, I smelled Baraxel soap. I thought, I've never had this happen. It wasn't in the natural. I smelled Baraxel soap. And the Lord wouldn't let me get it out of my brain and out of my nostrils. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I was preaching and I couldn't get it out. So I finally just stopped and said, folks, I don't know how to say this, but does Baraxel soap mean anything to anybody? when a visitor lady that hadn't been to the church stood up and said, "Oh yes, it's me. Just before yesterday, I was cleaning. I spilled Baraxel soap everywhere. Got it on my clothes, on my pants. And I woke up this morning smelling Baraxel soap." So why would God do that? You'll have to ask Him when you get to glory. I'm just telling you that God is in everything of your life if you'll just be aware of it. And when you got saved, it's just the beginning. You know, God blessed this church years, about 9 years ago, with a financial blessing, a wonderful blessing. And with that financial blessing, we were able to remodel the inside of this church. We were able to put a new roof on this church. We were able to build a new women's bathroom, and all the women said, "Glory to God, amen." We were able now to build a new fellowship hall. Do you think with that, plus the 75, 80 years prior to that, everything that God did, that it's over and that's it? And if you have Manoah faith, you'll think our best days are gone. But if you got the Holy Ghost shut up in your bones like fire, you'll say it's not over. It's just beginning. God that has begun a good work in us and in this church will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you're 80... welcome to the land of Moses. That's when God showed him the burning bush and said, "Moses, it's not time to retire. It's time to refire. It's never over." And if you've been having it rough and it's been uphill and against the wind and you think your best days are behind you, it ain't over. It's just beginning. And as Manoah, that's what he said. Manoah said, "That's it. We're going to die. It's over." You know, there are people like that. There are attitudes like that. In spite of the amazing things that God has done in your life, and you conclude it's over? It's just beginning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ says to everyone that will have ears to hear and a heart to believe, when Jesus walked out of that tomb, it's just beginning. And we have the Spirit of God. As Manoah saw the angel go up in the flame, they saw Jesus 40 days later, from the day he came out of the tomb, ascend up. But he sent back the flame, sent back the fire. And it's here in our midst, it's in our being. And I just hope you either have an attitude of Manoah, it's over, and you don't have a big excitement about tomorrow, or you're going to be like Manoah's wife and said, "No, it's not over. There's going to be a baby in my womb." If God wasn't pleased with us, He wouldn't have accepted that sacrifice. It's not over. There's going to be a baby that's going to be born, and Samson will be his name. And the Spirit of God began to move him in the camp of Dan. Listen, Easter was never intended to be a once-in-the-year celebration. Easter was meant to be celebrated 24/7. It's not just something that you go to church on once a year. The Easter is to be celebrated tomorrow morning when I wake up. It's Easter Day, and it's the following day, and the following day. It's 24/7 is living for God all the time. It's pinata time. Can I hold her? Will she let me? I want you to know that the attention just tripled. Look at these people out there. Look at that. Okay, I quit while I'm ahead. You don't get any do-overs. You love her. It's just beginning. And one day, if Jesus tarries, she'll be like Sister Watson. I pray she knows Jesus and loves him. It's not over, people. You have a bright future if you have Jesus and if you live for him. Would you stand? He that has begun a good work in you will perform it. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The works don't save you, Jesus does. True story, a boy was drowning in a creek that had swollen due to excessive rain. A man happened to be driving by and heard the cries of the little boy. He stopped his car, jumped out, swam to get the little boy about 8-10 years old and brought him to the shore. And the little boy looked up at the man and said, "Oh, thank you. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for saving my life." The man very sternly looked at the little boy. "You live and show that your life was worth saving." Christ saved you. Live for him. Show that your life was worth saving, not in the sense that we're worthy to be saved, but out of gratefulness. Don't be like the 9 lepers that he healed, and to them it was over. And Jesus said, "Where are the 9? If he's done something for you, let it be the beginning of from this day forward to give him thanks and praise and a life worth living and worth saving." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. And may we have in our hearts the attitude and the faith of Manoah's wife. Everything that has happened up till now is not a sign that it's over. It's just beginning. And I pray you let a faith rise up within your precious saints in this church, that everything that has happened in this church for the last 85 years, may we know, and as we have observed and have witnessed and can testify to the many miracles that you have done, may we interpret it as well. It's not over. It's just beginning. It's a new day. Because Christ makes all things new. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has wandered from you, and things have gotten old and stale in their walk, and if you're here and you'd be honest with the Lord, and you'd say, "I've really lost my hope. I really don't have a lot of hope, excitement about tomorrow. It's like life has passed me by. I feel lonely." And I need to get back and begin to serve the Lord where he can make all things new again. Would you lift your hand up and say, "Lord, that's me. Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you." Easter is not just once a year. It's every day. And the same Spirit that raised him from the dead can quicken me tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Help your people. Bless your people. Put hope, Lord, where discouragement has been. Lift them up, Lord, and put faith, Lord, where discouragement has come. We thank you for your blessings. And Lord, if someone right now is going through a time in their life where maybe they've lost the reality that God does have a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life and a purpose. But you only find it when you connect to Him. And in connecting to Him, it'll begin to become alive and become purposeful. Lord, bless everyone and be with them and watch over them. And may we, Lord, have within our hearts an attitude that is not of Manoah, that it's over, but rather it's just beginning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. There's a lot of candy waiting your children.